And now let's unwrap it. Let's unwrap it.
Successful?
Let's unwrap it. Says the Rambam, what is this mitzvah? What is it about? He says, first of all, it's a what's called a gzeirat hakatuf. It is a law like the law of kosher. Why do we eat kosher? Not because it's the pigs used to eat garbage, and now today they eat fresh corn, so it's a little bit different. So back in the day, when they used to eat garbage, so it was very dangerous to eat pigs. And you know, the Jewish people, that's why we stayed away from so many diseases, because we didn't eat pigs, and the rest of the people ate pigs, and you know what? They got sick, and we didn't. Ha ha. False. We don't eat not kosher, because, and we keep kosher because spiritually it affects our soul. And the ultimate reason behind it, the ultimate reasoning behind it, very difficult. Very difficult to understand. Again, there are spiritual Kabbalistic reasons, which we're not going to get into right now. But in essence, it's a principle. It's a principle. It's a law within the world, within the spiritual world. It's not one of those things that are logical principles that, like, you know, the Jewish people came up with, like, don't kill. Like, we did. We did come up with that idea, right? It comes from the Torah, but we brought it out to the world, not anyone else. And that's logical. We can understand. Don't kill. Don't murder. Don't murder. This is not one of them. That's the first thing Rambam says. But then he gives you a little bit of a hint. And the hint is what we're going to go off of. He says, the shofar is there to wake you up from your slumber. Shofar there is a big alarm clock. Maybe you've been sleeping a little bit in shul and you're falling asleep after a couple hours, right? And you ask, what have you been doing there for a couple hours? It's there to wake you up. It's your alarm clock. But it's not your physical alarm clock. It's your spiritual alarm clock. It says, wake you up from your slumber. You've been sleeping. It's time to wake up to real life. So what is this awakening to real life? The Kabbalists bring down, and the Gemara, it's really the Gemara first, brings down another crazy, I'll add another crazy scenario to what the scenario that we just discussed. So Yael, my kids aren't around, good. Yael, when she brought Sisera into her tent, there was no one there. By the way, Yael is married. Yael brought Sisera into her tent. She gave him a lot of milk. And we also learn out, the Gemara learns out, she did something else with him. She slept with him. She slept with him 7 times. In order to get him so tired that he falls asleep, in order that she could kill him. So she did that act in a what's called in a wild, one of the most wild scenarios, is the Gemara gives us as it's avera lishma, a transgression for the highest reasonings. And in that, the Gemara calls it a massive mitzvah. Because she did that to save the Jewish people. And if she did that to save the Jewish people, massive, massive intention of fulfilling in the worst level. She's married, committing adultery. But in essence, her action that she did was only for the ultimate reason. She wasn't getting pleasure. The Gemara actually says she was disgusted by this individual. And her full intention was only to save the Jewish people. And therefore, the act that she did, which is adultery, became the highest mitzvah of saving the Jewish people, the entire Jewish people. Which is wild. Think about it. One of the lowest things a person can do is adultery. Murder and adultery and idol worship are all on the same level in Judaism.
So the ends justify the means.
No. Definitely not. That level of action that she did, that level of action that she went into was such a high level that it created in her, by the way, the third level of intimacy that she had with him. She got impregnated.
Oh my word.
Wait, what?
The third level of intimacy? The third time? Say the Kabbalist, stay with me. Stay with me. Say the Kabbalist. The third level was a seed that was implanted in her. The seed that was implanted to her with was when the third time that she had relations.
Oh,
right? That was in the Kabbalist, right? So add this back to, again, what we're talking about. Sisera's mother is crying about Sisera not coming home, this murderer. And she is what we learn from on Rosh Hashanah, that is the sound of the Truah, which is the shofar that we blow, and we have different sounds that unite. And that was caused within this scenario with Yael, who committed adultery, but turned out to be the highest level of a mitzvah, because her full intentions was only to save the Jewish people.
Sisera slept with Yael the night that that person was crying because Sisera wouldn't come home.
It created a portal.
Yes.
But hold the phone. She has to have known that doing that could create a baby. And so how is that any better now? You have a demon child.
Oh.
The kid's Jewish.
So.
Because the mom's Jewish.
So.
So let's let's understand. Oh, this is the next level. Watch this. Next level. The next level.
Here's a kid.
The next level is the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that the children of Sisera, learned and taught Torah in Bnei Brak. The children of Sisera taught and learned Torah in Bnei Brak. Bnei Brak is in Israel. Everyone knows it.
Yeah.
Today it's still Bnei Brak, right? It's mostly observant place. Not mostly. 100% observant city that most people learn Torah. So who was these children? Says one of the Kabbalists, I believe it's the Megali Amukos, who's one of the Kabbalists from Poland. There was an eternal light that was, it's actually a bank today. I saw where it was. If you go to Poland, we saw it. Remember there was the light?
Which one was it?
We went to remember the bank in the square in Krakow. There's a light in the bank. That's where the Megali Amukos used to learn. There's a light there because he used to stay up all night learning. So anyway, the Megali Amukos says, who was the person? Who was the person? Who is this child? Who are these children that learned in Bnei Brak that is the child of Sisera? Or the great-great-grandchild of Sisera? From this adulterous relationship of Yael doing this action to kill Sisera came out a child, and later that grandchild, great great grandchild, came out to be Rabbi Akiva.
What?
Rabbi Akiva.
No way. This is like talk show material.
Bad things like a bad relationship that comes out of spring a good.
So.
Great-great-grandchild.
What is the crying of Sisera's mother? Say the Kabbalist, what was the crying? The crying was, in essence, the mother. Who is the mother? It's all an analogy. It wasn't the mother, obviously, of this evil guy. But the mother in Judaism, a lot of times, is the mother of what? The mother of creation. The mother of all creation. When the mothers, the Kabbalists bring down, when we talk about the mothers in Judaism, it is the essence of the mothers of creation. It is the source of wanting an essence creation to come to fruition. So if creation is supposed to come to fruition, what was the crying of Sisera's mother? It was the creation itself. In essence, it was Hashem crying out. Crying out what? Maybe Sisera is going to die in battle and therefore not end up in Yael's tent. And therefore, what will not happen? Eventually, the grandchild will not come out. Who will not come out?
Akiva
will not come out. The cry and the scream, in essence, is what? For the fulfillment of Akiva to come out. And what was Akiva? We've talked about it previously. What was Akiva supposed to come out? How did he come out? Was Akiva this great, massive Torah scholar from birth? Did he grow up in Bnei Brak and was just like an amazing child prodigy?
No.
He grew up until 40 years old. He was basically a nobody. He was one of the most unlearned Jews of the time. Right? He was almost a nobody. Till 40 years old, he knew nothing. Until what happened? Until he met a woman that could change his heart, right? We've talked about that. That transformation changed him. The crying was what? Maybe Yael and the Sisera wouldn't go into her tent. Maybe Akiva wouldn't change himself and transform himself to become what? Rabbi Akiva. And therefore that Rabbi Akiva, which all of our, in essence, knowledge and understanding of Torah today comes necessarily, that lineage almost all come through him. Because all he had is 6 students that passed down the entire understanding of all Torah and of all of life. The crying and the screaming is about one thing. What? Achieving life. Achieving life. Because you are standing in Rosh Hashanah. You are standing before in Rosh Hashanah and you're asking for life. What is that asking for? Hashem has given you an ultimate potential. He's given you the power inside of you. It's deep inside of every single one of us. And the trua, the scream is screaming out to you. What? Says the Rambam, wake up. Stop sleeping. Stop playing with your phones all day. Stop being involved in this crazy world that puts you to sleep, that puts you away from what real life is all about, that takes you away from trying to really achieve what you're in this world for, what inside of you, what's really inside of you, that immense power, the immense potential that you have inside of you, that you have to bring out. That's crying and screaming and that all the sobbing is all saying, wake up, bring out your potential. This is what life is really all about. This is what you're in this world for. Stop wasting your time on the nonsense that takes you away from what real life is all about. Bring out your potential. Because that's what you really are. Because when you're in life, when you're in this world, you know, when you go to Rosh Hashanah, we always ask, yeah, we should have health. We should all have health. We should. We should all make money and have a good year of parnasah, right? Of being able to make very good money and be able to afford things and be able to eventually when you have family support, your families, it's a great thing, good thing. But that's it? What else? What do you have health for? What do you have money for? So I can take care of my family. Okay, so you can take care of your family. What's that for? What are you doing that for? What's the purpose? What are you here for? Says the Truah, says the Shofar. Wake up. Realize you're here not just to make money. You're not here just to feed yourself and have a good time and have a comfortable, easy, nice experience and be healthy till 120 years, which we all should. But the real purpose is to fulfill your potential in this world. That's a scream. That's a cry. That's a sigh. Oi. Oi to you if you're not fulfilling your life. Oi, wake up. Come on. You can do it. Oh, it's here. This moment is right now. The moment of creation, everything around it is created for you to be able to fulfill your potential. So when you're screaming, when that shofar is blasting, it's a message to you here. Fortunate are you that hears the message. Fortunate is the nation that hears the Truah, that hears that message, that understands that message, that you get it. Now you understand what you're here for. Now you understand what life is all about. Now you understand what I'm put into this world for. And now you can connect to the energy that's there now. What is that? Life. Choices of life. Make the choices. Make those choices to change your life. Don't let the exteriors hold you back in every aspect of your life. Whether it be your own self with your anger or your jealousies. Whether it be your relationship with your friends, your family, your mother, your father, your significant other, your future spouses. Don't let society hold you back from becoming the Jewish person that you're supposed to become, to have the relationship with Hashem that you're supposed to have. That shofar blast is there to wake you up and say, I have to achieve my potential. All of creation, everything set up now in my life, in your life. The crazy way that your life was set up. Why did I meet this person? And why did I go to this school? And why was I with these parents? And why did I meet that person? And why did I go on this trip? It was all set up for you. You. No one else. Set up perfectly for you. And now the shofar is blowing and blasting out. And the energy is coming down saying, choose life. Choose life. There was, I'll finish with this idea. There was a biker, one of the Hell's Angels bikers. He was traveling around Europe on his bike. Jewish guy. And somehow he got on his bike and was traveling through Israel. And he stopped in Jerusalem. It's already 25 years ago. And he stopped by the Kotel, left his bike, you know, outside in the old city. Back in the day, there was like a parking lot that everyone could drop their stuff off. So he's at the Kotel, biker guy, tattoos, you know, big guy. And someone taps him on the back. And says, you wanna go to? Are you Jewish? He says, looks at the guy like, you know, strange looking guy with like a black hat and like you know, why are you asking? He's like, no, you wanna go take a class in Judaism coming up? He says, all right, yeah, you know, I'll try it out. Why not? I'm here. You know, never heard anything about this stuff. Let me go check it out. So he goes up, and at the time, the class was being taught by Rabbi Noach Weinberg of blessed memory. He used to be the head of the yeshiva of Eshet Torah. And he heard this class, it was very intriguing, great class. And guy asked a couple questions, interested. So at the end, Rabbi Weinberg was going up to his office, and the guy wanted to ask him a couple other questions, so he walked him to his office. So in the end, he asked him, sit down, so where are you traveling, where are you going, this? He's telling him he was going here, and it was over there, and he was all over the place. Like, great. So he says, so Rabbi Weinberg asked him, why don't you stay here in Jerusalem for a little bit and study? Study a little bit Judaism, study your heritage, it's deep, something you never experienced. You enjoyed the class, right? He's like, yeah. So why don't you stay? He's like, nah, I don't need this. Rabbi Weinberg said, why not? Let's hear. Why don't you need this? He says, you know, me and God, we're like this. Really? You and God are like this? Okay, I'm interested to hear. Why are you and God like this? You know, like best buds. So me and God are best buds. He says, I was in Santorini in Greece on the islands. I'm riding my bike, and it's great, you know, the beauty of there. I don't know if anyone's been there, but as you're riding around, I was there, you're riding around, going up to the top to see the sundown. It's like this beautiful, beautiful ride, amazing, and like you're on this like thin road, but it's awesome, and the ocean, this blue, blue, blue ocean is all around you, and you're just going higher and higher around like this, going up like a mountain, almost like on a road and around, gorgeous scenery, like to die for. And I'm riding, 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 and I'm going all the way up. I'm going faster and faster and faster and faster, and then all of a sudden I hear, ew! And I thought it was literally seconds. I hear this massive truck, and all I see, I'm heading towards a truck. And I think, that's it, it's over, it's done. So what did I do? I did the only thing I could. I took my bike off the side of the mountain, and my bike went off the mountain. As I was going off the mountain, I don't know how it happened, but I'm telling you, it was unbelievable. I literally just grabbed onto this, I guess it was a tree or a branch that was running around. As I was flying off the bike, going off the side, right before I went off the side, I somehow grabbed it, and it smacked me back, but I was able to grab on, and I stayed on the edge, and I was able to lift myself back up and pull myself on the tree and like drop back onto the side of the road, and I saw my bike fly off the mountain, hit the bottom of the ground, and boom, and a big explosion. I know, Rabbi, that God saved me. I know God saved me. Me and God were like this. Me and God are like this. I don't need this stuff. I'm very close. My relationship with God is very close. So Rabbi Weinberg listened to the whole story, and as soon as he said that, he said, and buddy, and then he had this like New York type of accent, like almost like the mafia. And buddy, who do you think threw you off the cliff? Who do you think threw you off the cliff? He wants you to achieve your potential. He wants you to wake up. He wants you to wake up. Hopefully we don't have to get thrown off a cliff.
Did he stay?
He stayed. We have a shofar to do that. It's there to wake you up. Hear the message. Hear that powerful message. Fill your potential. Seize that day. Seize the moment. Seize the powerful energy that's alive. Fulfill your life. Get your life clear. Understand what you're in this world for. You're here to achieve your massive potential that's inside. That screaming out was for Rabbi Akiva to achieve his potential. And look what we have. It's waiting for every single one of us. Listen, fortunate are we, the Jewish people, that have this wake-up call every year. Make your life great. Get out of the nonsense. Make your life clear. What am I in this world for? Get your priorities clear and understand. You're here to make your lives great. Fulfill your potential. Thanks for coming. Thank you. Yeah, you can say it loud.
There's 7 times versus a week.
Yeah.